Thank you, Janine. I'm glad I'm only reading Scripture. Scripture this morning is from Romans 6, chapter 6, verses 3 to 5, and you can follow along on page 1028 in the Pew Bible. Do you know not that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
It was a transatlantic flight bound from the UK for Florida. On board was a 67-year-old British passenger named Dorothy Fletcher. She was going to Florida to attend her daughter's wedding. Somewhere across the Atlantic, mid-flight, Mrs. Fletcher began to have a medical emergency. She thought she was having a heart attack. A flight attendant shouted out, "Is there a doctor on board?" And 15 hands shot up. There were 15 cardiologists on board that airplane. And the reason there were so many heart specialists on that flight was they were on their way to attend a medical conference in Orlando. Well, the doctors did render assistance, and Mrs. Fletcher was saved. When they arrived in Orlando, she was taken by ambulance to the hospital. She spent 2 days in ICU, but she recovered in time for her daughter's wedding. Now, having a near-death experience like that made Mrs. Fletcher feel that she had been given a new lease on life. Newness of life. That's what we celebrate the second Sunday after Easter. Newness of life. That's what we celebrate this time of year when it seems that everything is coming into bloom. Newness of life. That's what we celebrate every time we observe the ordinance of believers' baptism. In our scripture from the book of Romans, Paul wrote about the hope and the newness of life that is ours through our faith in Jesus. And Paul used the symbol of baptism to illustrate what this newness of life means. Paul wrote that being baptized is like dying and rising with Christ. The ritual of baptism is a symbol of death and rebirth. Now, you probably know that Baptists, unlike most Christians, practice believers' baptism by immersion. Of the more than 2 billion Christians in the world, most do not practice believers' baptism by immersion. Most churches practice infant baptism. Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, mainline Protestant churches baptize babies, usually by touching their heads with water or by sprinkling some water on them or maybe by pouring some water on them. But those methods of baptism of babies don't really portray what Paul is talking about in our scripture for today. Paul's metaphor of dying and rising with Christ only makes sense when it's believers' baptism by immersion. While most churches baptize babies, there are some churches like Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, Pentecostals, and others who baptize believers by immersion. Now, it would be a lot easier to sprinkle a few drops of water on a baby's head than to baptize the way we do. We had a service of believers' baptism at the early service today. Haley Boggs was baptized. And in order to get ready for that, I had to come over yesterday and fill up the baptistry with many, many gallons of water. It takes about an hour and a half to fill it up. And then I had to come back last night and turn on the pump and the heating element to heat the water up so that Haley would not freeze when she went into the water this morning. And overnight, the pump circulated the water and the water got heated up. And by this morning, it was a nice warm temperature. It'd be a lot easier just to sprinkle a few drops of water and call that baptism. It also would be easier to baptize babies because a baby doesn't have to decide to be baptized. The parents decide for the baby. It doesn't require a voluntary faith commitment on the part of the baby. And because we baptize believers, that means we have to wait until the person makes a voluntary faith commitment to give their life to Christ, to follow him as a believer in baptism. Sometimes that doesn't happen, even for a person that grows up in the church. They never reach that point where they want to be baptized. But because we believe that faith is a personal, voluntary commitment, we don't automatically baptize anyone. It's a matter of personal decision and commitment. Whenever I baptize someone in our church, I introduce the ritual with the words, "Baptism is an outward and visible symbol of an inward and spiritual grace." In other words, the act of going down under the water and coming back up again is symbolic of what happens in the life of the believer. We die to the old way of life, and we are raised to a new way of life with God. Through believers' baptism by immersion, we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This outward symbol portrays the inward, spiritual death, burial, and resurrection that takes place in the heart of the believer. Well, Paul used baptism as a symbol of this new life and to teach about the meaning of God's grace. Early in Romans, Paul has stated that God's grace is free. It's a free gift from God, that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And so if God's grace is free, and if Jesus died to forgive everyone of their sin, we might wonder, well, what's to keep us from continuing to sin? If God's grace is free, if every sin can be forgiven, why not just continue to sin? That flawed reasoning argues, the more I sin, the more I receive God's forgiveness. Well, Paul asks, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answered, by no means. To continue to sin totally misconstrues the meaning of God's grace. When we were baptized, we died to the old way of life. We died to the way of life under the control of sin. When we were baptized, we died to selfishness and self-centeredness. We died to living only for ourselves. We died to thinking only about ourselves. When we were baptized, we died to the old life, and we were raised to new life with God. And in this newness of life, we don't live just for ourselves. We live for God. Now, we know that even dedicated Christians sometimes sin because we're still human. And when we sin, we know that by grace our sins are forgiven. But this newness of life, this new orientation of our lives is different. We're oriented toward God rather than toward ourselves. And baptism is a sign that we die to that self-centered focus and we're raised to a new life focused on God. A few years ago, Linda and I had a chance to visit Alaska. And while we were there, we were introduced to some sled dogs that pull a sled in the wintertime through the Denali National Park. These dogs are bred to pull a sled in the snow. In fact, in the Denali National Park, the park rangers do not use snowmobiles or snow machines. They use sleds pulled by sled dogs. Well, while we were there, we had a demonstration of what these sled dogs could do when they're harnessed together. There was no snow on the ground, but they hooked up these dogs to a sled that was on wheels, and we watched the dogs pull the sled on wheels around the park ranger station. We learned about the Iditarod sled dog race. It happens every year in Alaska in the month of March. It's a race of over 1,000 miles from Anchorage to Nome, lasting from 8 to 15 days. Each team of 12 to 16 dogs pulls a sled through the snow along with a musher, the person on the sled, for this race that lasts over 1,000 miles. They go through some tough terrain, frigid winter conditions. Now, obviously, since the dogs are pulling the sled, the mushers do everything they can to take care of their dogs, to make sure the dogs work together, to keep the dogs in top physical condition. In fact, for many mushers, the dogs are their passion. The primary focus is on the dogs. I saw an interview with a musher who talked about how much his dogs meant to him. But then he talked about when he accepted Jesus as his Savior and became a Christian. The musher said that before he became a Christian, he'd been focusing almost totally on the dog, on the D-O-G. But after he committed his life to Christ, he realized that his major focus should be on God, on G-O-D. And so he'd been living his life backwards. He was focused on D-O-G when his life should have been focused on G-O-D. We who have been baptized on the basis of our faith in Jesus focus on God. And we receive a new life. We don't aspire to a new life. We receive a new life through dying and rising with Christ. But we must nurture that new life in order for it to mature and to grow. In other words, baptism is not the end of the story. We nurture that new life in Christ by Christian practices like worship and Bible study and prayer and fellowship with other Christians and giving our tithes and our offerings and serving others in Christ's name. All of those disciplines of the Christian life help us to grow in our faith and to grow in this newness of life that we receive as a gift of grace. We practice Christian living not in order to be saved, but because we have been saved. Christian living is a natural outgrowth of the gift of God's grace in our lives. Now, God's grace means that God accepts us and loves us just as we are. But God's grace also means that God doesn't want us to stay as we are. You might know that this year is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. 500 years ago, a German priest named Martin Luther discovered God's grace in his own life, and he was transformed by it. He discovered that we are saved by faith through grace and not by our own efforts. Luther said to his fellow Christians, "Become what you are. You are saved by grace. Now become the person that God created you to be." God loves us as we are, but God doesn't want us to stay as we are. He wants us to become the persons He created us to be. And so we become what we are. When Christians were baptized in the early church, they were given a white robe to wear as a symbol of this newness of life. In a similar way, when someone is baptized in our church, we give them a white robe to put on, not just to cover the swimsuit that they're wearing underneath, but as a symbol of the new life that comes through faith in Christ. Some years ago, I met a man who experienced a medical emergency in the hospital. He was in the hospital. He was breathing through a tracheotomy tube in his throat, and somehow the device got clogged and he couldn't breathe anymore. He began to panic. He pushed the call button on the hospital bed, and immediately somebody came to his aid. They were able to unclog the device. He could breathe again. The crisis was resolved. But he told me that near-death experience had a profound effect upon his life. He said that because of that near-death experience, now he takes nothing for granted. Now he savors every day. Now his whole reason for living has changed. He's convinced that God saved him for a purpose, and he's living every day to the fullest to fulfill that purpose, not for himself, but for God. Well, if you believe in Jesus, you can know that you were saved for a purpose. If you believe in Jesus, you can be sure that God wants you to live every day to the fullest. Remember your baptism and let the memory of that experience remind you of your new life in Christ. If you've yet to place your faith in Jesus, if you've yet to follow him as a believer in baptism, you can make that decision today. Yes, it will mean dying to the old self, but that's the only way that you can rise to new life with God. When the doctors on that airplane rushed to the aid of Mrs. Fletcher, who was having a heart attack, they saved her life. But that salvation was only temporary. She would die, as will we all, one day. But Jesus saves our lives for eternity. His salvation is forever. By grace through faith, all who believe in Jesus will rise to new and eternal life with God. Our Father, we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. All who have placed their faith in him have the promise and the assurance of eternal life with you. And yet, our Father, we know that baptism is not the end of our journey. Rather, that baptism is the beginning of a life that's oriented on you, a life that's focused on Jesus, a life that is lived to become the persons you created us to be. And so all of us, our Father, are becoming who we are. Some of us have yet to make that commitment of our lives to Christ, and today could be that day when we step forward and say, yes, Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my Lord, I commit myself to follow him. Some of us made that decision a long time ago, and we've been following Jesus ever since. We pray that you would help us to deepen that commitment, to live our lives to the fullest, to live every day focused on you and following Jesus. We thank you for your grace that gives us new life. We thank you for your forgiveness and salvation. We thank you for a love that will never let us go. Now help us, our Father, to live more fully each day for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn in just a few moments, a hymn of invitation, because we invite you to consider your relationship to Jesus Christ. If you've never publicly professed Jesus as your Savior, you've not followed him as a believer in baptism, we invite you to make that decision today. Or maybe you've been a Christian for some time, but you're not a part of this church family. You want to unite with us as we seek to serve God together. The invitation has come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 214, The Day of Resurrection.